This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app.
Have you thought about doing a DNA test to find out about your ancestors? I did one a while ago and there was an option to be linked to other family members that I don't know about, and I declined as I'm not ready, nor do I have the time to start researching my family history. But I know there are some unpleasant stories just waiting to be discovered, and potentially they could cause a bit of distress. So is it better to leave them alone? Susan Moore is an emeritus professor from Swinburne University of Technology. Susan, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thank you.
What drives us to try and find out about our family history?
Well, it's a big fad at the moment, isn't it? I think there's so much available, and although people have always been interested, it's now a great rush of people, and we're getting DNA tests for as birthday presents and all sorts of things. So partly it's just by accident, I think, but there's certainly a lot of family historians who are very passionate about what they do. What drives us? I think especially as you get to a certain age, you start to see your life in a long context, in the context of history. It's not just you, it's your parents and the influence they had on you, and the grandparents had influences on them. And then, you know, in Australia, where nearly all of us are immigrants, and what was like back in whatever the old country was, and how that made us, I suppose. We've got a family narrative as well as a personal narrative about who we are.
And the interesting thing that I find fascinating and would drive me to find out about my family history is I often wonder about how much of my behaviour is shaped through my family history that I'm perhaps not aware of, and I would love to find that out.
Yes. Yes, my father used to say to me when I was a showy, offy little kid, don't show off so much, Susan, he used to say. And I wondered, why? You know, keep your head down, he'd say. Don't make a spectacle of yourself. And when researching my family history, I found that there was a convict in Dad's family history, and that had been kept secret from us. It was a long way back, and eventually I did find out about that, and I found out that when he first was sent to Tasmania, Van Diemen's Land, he behaved, the convict, rather badly. He was always sitting down on the job or doing something he shouldn't, and he ended up getting hurt a great deal, you know, lashes and put on some torture machine or whatever. So after a few years, it seems like he settled down and started to behave, and then he got pardoned. And I've wondered since then, maybe that history of having a convict in the family, and when you think, well, if you've got a convict in the family, you need to not show yourself off, to be quiet about, give your attention to the guards or whatever. I wondered about that, but who knows?
How did you feel, though, Susan, when you found out about things like torture? I mean, that must have been very upsetting.
Yes, there's this machine that you have to, it's called a step machine or something. You just, they put them on it, and it is like a torture, and you just have to keep stepping and stepping and stepping. It's the wheel, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a wheel of some sort, and they had to go on it for a few hours as punishment, and then they could go off. And if you didn't keep stepping, you fell into the machinery and were crushed to pieces. Oh. So I felt dreadful. I certainly had a few tears when I read my convict ancestors' records, and the records are very detailed, all in handwriting. It takes a while to work it all out. And then I found out a bit more about what happened after he was pardoned. They had bride ships come out with young women to marry the convicts because there were hardly any women. And he married a nice young woman, apparently, and they had several children, and each of those children had their children, and they had, in the end, a good life. He was able to start a farm in northern Tasmania. He grew fruit and he won prizes that shows the biggest pumpkin in Tasmania. All sorts of things like that were in the newspaper. And that was, it made me feel much better then, because putting the story in context and seeing that, okay, there were some nasty things that happened and he was in prison, or he was transported because he stole 12 rounds of cheese. So you put that in a context of why would you steal 12 rounds of cheese unless you were trying to feed somebody, I suppose, feed your family, your mother and father or whatever. Anyway, put it in a context, thought about it a bit more and came to the conclusion, well, maybe my family's got a bit of resilience. Maybe we could stand up to the vagaries of life. So I think that's how it happens with most people.
We're chatting with Susan Moore, Emeritus Professor from Swinburne University of Technology, about doing a DNA kit or researching your family history. Now, Susan, you've recently done some research on the emotions experienced while looking at your family history. What did you find?
Well, with my colleague, Doreen Rosenthal, we surveyed 775 family historians, hobbyists, not professionals, and they were very keen to tell us all sorts of things about why they loved what they did. And we had a lot of closed answer questions, but also open-ended questions where they could answer things like, what's the best things about family history? What's the worst thing? And some of the worst things were, I think, in a way, the most interesting, the things that made them feel bad, the things like finding out ancestors who behaved badly. As one woman said, the worst thing was finding the bigamist. He was horrific. Very confronting, thinking that I have some of his blood in my veins. So finding out some nasty people and wondering, I hope I haven't got any of that in me. Or also some people found out that they had ancestors who had kept slaves, for example, and that is very confronting. Sometimes people feel guilt and shame, even though they're not the perpetrators of this crime. There's a lot to be thought about in that. Another thing that made people feel awful was to find ancestors who were treated cruelly or who had very sad stories. I've written about my great-great-grandmother who died in childbirth, having her 13th child on the banks of the Yarra in a tent. This was 1853. Melbourne was full of people who'd come over for the gold rush, and there was nowhere to live. Everyone was in these tents in Canvas Town. There was no sewerage. Everyone was just throwing it in the Yarra, and that's what the drinking water came from. So it's no wonder she died in childbirth. It's no wonder the baby died. And that was very confronting. And many other people have had those sorts of sad stories as well. I think the hardest one, though, is when you find out you're not who you thought you were, but when you find out that your parents are not your biological parents. It doesn't happen so much these days because adoption is out in the open, but not that long ago it wasn't. In fact, not that long ago it was advised not to tell children they were adopted.
That's right. Given all of these, surprises that could be uncovered if we start researching our family history, I suppose what's the best way to approach it if we want to do a DNA test or we want to research our family history so that we're prepared for what might be uncovered?
Yes, well, I think the best way to approach it is to be aware that sometimes the old family stories that you've been hearing for years and years will not be true. It'll be something different. That be prepared for surprises. It's not always how you think it's going to be. It can be fascinating and interesting to find all these stories, but it can be challenging as well. And I think a good piece of advice is don't give DNA tests to people for presents, because then you've got a situation of where they might find out something unexpected and they didn't even want to know in the first place, and you've put them in that position. So
then they'll blame you. Should we be warned before undertaking a DNA test, do you reckon?
Well, all of these DNA tests have terms and conditions associated with them. They're usually about 16 pages of very small print, all of that sort of thing. So it's there, probably, but it's not there in a very obvious way. And I do think it's important for people to be aware that some of the things they find out might not be what they expect, and they should be prepared for that.
Susan, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today.
Thank you for talking to me. Bye.
Susan Moore, Emeritus Professor from Swinburne University of Technology.
This is Joy Drive.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.